You're entering a world that is neither real nor fiction. A world where cats scratch at anything that they see at the moment. A world where giant creatures roam the roads. A world where cars have faces and are hungry for your souls. You are now entering the Ultra Nerd Podcast. And welcome back to another episode of the Ultra Nerd Podcast Spooky Month Edition, folks. I'm your host, as always, Zane. And I want to apologize about something because I always do promise to make an episode for this month in particular for Saturday and Sundays. And I was going to do one last night, but I had college work to do. And obviously, schoolwork has to come first before the podcast. And by the time I finally got done with the work, I was mentally exhausted, and instead of doing the podcast, I decided to just sit down on my couch and watch a movie. It was The Colors of Outer Space, if anyone's wondering, starring Nicolas Cage. It's not good. It's not bad either. But lucky for that movie, that's not on today's topic. Today's topic I want to talk about is horror video games, folks. Horror video games have been with us forever. One big example I really want to point out is from it's a documentary series on Netflix called Level Up, I believe. It's really interesting, where it basically talks about certain evolutions for video games here and there, and certain problems like the E.T. one. But one incident I want to talk about is where this one lady wanted to make a murder mystery game. And in a way, I feel like as if that's horror related, because it's a murder mystery and you don't know what's going to happen, you don't know who's going to be killed, and you don't know who's going to die or who's the murderer and so on and so forth. But a small glimpse could be seen with a Macintosh with stick-like figures in it, with a house and so on. Now back then, the only kind of horror theme aspects for a video game back then was more or less of text-based games. And ever since that kind of game got implemented, it changed the whole world of video games entirely. Because if you think about it, that little images from a Macintosh might as well be like the greatest thing you would see since sliced bread. And horror games evolved into something more grander now. Like, there is a game called Phasmos, Phantasm. That's a different thing. That's from Yu-Gi-Oh. I know what I'm talking about. Basically, Phasmosophobia. Phasmosophobia. I think that's how you pronounce it, folks. Well, that's the biggest horror game right now because everyone is playing it. They're recording it with their friends. And it's basically like, from what I could gather, is it's a video game where you hunt down and try to contact spirits from the other world and die trying. But it's a very grueling game because it has that type of real world aspect of what spirits might do in the real world. And that's something scary to note. But also what I want to point out is that's a good example of a horror game. And hell, there are multiple good examples of horror games. Like, for example, Dead Space, the Resident Evil series. What else was there? There's also some games that are click-based games, like the Clock Tower series or the Eternal Darkness series that's also heavily inspired by H.P. Lovecraft. Holy smokes, this guy has thought of everything for us to work on, right? Right! Or even the Dark Corners of the Earth, or the Call of Cthulhu game, which I sadly haven't finished because of the damn Xbox Live! But horror games are something really cool and really nice to play, because you have that aspect of something very eerie, and something that doesn't seem right when you first start playing the game. And when you start getting into it, you're hooked on it. And from what I heard from a small documentary or a small podcast, one guy said that we feel want to watch something or play something scary so we could feel safe, which kind of feels like the opposite when you think about it, but it kind of does make sense when you do, because we have that urge of trying something scary, like say, watch a horror movie, that's another example, or go on a roller coaster, and our brain starts putting in that chemical from whatever it's called that makes us think of, okay, do I want to stay and fight or run the other way? And that is something that horror games get to us really good. I'm going to be talking about two, no, three specific horror games that get this idea down really good. The first one is Dead Space. Now, when I first started playing Dead Space, I would always dread walking down long hallways because with the flickering lights, the tight corridors, and knowing the fact that there could be a alien zombie right around the corner could scare the living shit out of me. And not only that, but it just has that type of dread you feel constantly on the edge, where you have to constantly ready your weapon just in case. If there really is a monster right around the corner, or if there's one right behind you don't know because you have that feeling of unease and unnerve that you cannot get away from. And that is something that Dead Space brings to you, is that unending notice of what is going to happen. Is there a monster right behind me? Is there a monster going to be in front of me? Or why can't this ship have power? And another example I want to bring up that I want to say brought back the horror genre, I mean, kind of a bit, is 2012's Five Nights at Freddy's. Now, when this game first started up with Scott Cawthon, it really took the whole industry by storm, I would argue with, because it brought something to the table that a lot of people grew up with, a lot of people haven't seen in a while, which was click-based games. And honestly, the idea is to literally survive against these animatronics. And I remember I used to watch a lot of Markiplier when I was a kid, and when I would see him play this game, I always had that unnerve and uneasy feeling every time when I saw the thumbnails. And I have, and that's crazy because I have even clicked on the thumbnails, and that's saying something that this one game has gotten to me because of just the thumbnails. And really, Scott Cawthon has evolved the game even further, where it's just not like, oh, opening the doors, checking on the lights, making sure Foxy doesn't break in and say hi. Instead, in two, you have to wear a mask. You have to constantly keep checking the vents. You have to make sure Foxy is staying in his corner, and you have to rewind that music box so the puppet doesn't come up out of nowhere and decides to give you a body slam. It is a good game, but really for me, I feel as if the idea of FNAF anymore is much more of a meme anymore to me. Where I do feel as if it's, don't get me wrong, the game is still scary, don't, because of the eyes and the freakish way how the animatronics look in general. Like, it just looks really disturbing overall. But the idea for me just feels like it's gone to a bad taste in my mouth, where it's just like a, like I previously said, a meme. I mean, at one point in Scott Cawthon's career for the game is he made a game called FNAF World, where instead of the characters being downright disturbing, they're chibi-sized and decide to be a FNAF meets Final Fantasy kind of way. And don't get me wrong, it's pretty all right seeing the gameplay aspect, but it, I don't know. I don't know what I want to say, but I think that should really say it. But another thing, another example that brings a new freshness to the table of horror is a game called Spooky's Jump Scare Mansion. Now, from what I've heard and from what I gathered, it was something else. But from what I heard, due to copyright issues, they had to change their name. It was like Spooky something else. And instead, they turned it from that into Spooky's Jump Scare Mansion, which honestly didn't change anything else about the game. So basically, you go into this type of mansion and meet a character named Spooky. And you thought to yourself when you first play the game is like, oh, this is cute. There's nothing suspicious about this. Going into each room one by one. And, oh boy, the game has a much more disturbing idea to it once you start playing. Recently, they have their final release of a game, which is like the house, I believe. And that changes the game so much. Where you have this like false sense of security that there's nothing wrong with this place, but once you do realize it, you're starting running constantly. You don't know what, and you don't know where is it, but you're going to keep running no matter where you are, because there's always going to be a monster next to you. There's always going to be a monster breathing down your neck, trying to get at your ass. Like, some examples would be, like, the Puppet Master. That guy was creepy, because he was like an SCP, basically. You have to keep an eye on him at all costs. Otherwise, it would just wreck you senselessly. Another example would be the Ghost Girl. The Ghost Girl has the ability where she could phase through anything and everything, which is frightening as hell. But besides just that, there is a very, very sad downside when it comes to horror games sometimes. And I'll get to that after the sponsor. And we're back after the sponsor. So what I was trying to say in the first half is when a game somewhat becomes popular, per se, it would then later have a issue with it. That issue being that it will go from a horror game to a action game for some reason. And this could be supported with games like Resident Evil 6 and Dead Space 3. From what I heard and from what I've seen, the games have fell from grace. And not only that, another example is Resident Evil 5, where, for some reason, Chris had the ability to punch a rock that was twice as big as he was. And his muscles were the size of his literal head. And I don't know why, but that was in the game. And not only that, at some aspects of Resident Evil 6, it also goes from like a horror, kill the zombie kind of game to a kind of game where the zombies shoot back. And I don't know why. And that's like something I feel kind of ruins the aspects of some horror games in general. Now, I haven't played Resident Evil, Dead Space 3. But from what I heard and from what I seen, there were some things that make sense. Like, for example, some areas didn't feel like they were horror related. I did also hear that there was very much of microtransactions in the game as well. And not only that, the games I heard didn't really get that much popular after the third installment, sadly. And same goes with like other games like Alien Isolation. Like, that's what happens when you try to make a horror aspect into a action aspect. It really doesn't work out so well. However, some games... No. I knew I was going to say, I didn't want to say it. But anyway, what I did want to say was, later on, Resident Evil did get back on its feet with the Resident Evil 2 and 3 remake and Resident Evil 7, which was a first-person game, which still adapted the original idea of Resident Evil. Like you're in a mansion, per se, and you have, like, limited storage space, you have limited ammo, And it's not like where you have to keep track of your partner and so on. But anyway, it's still a relatively fun game. But not only that, some game horror games just don't make it out that well. Some games do, some games don't. From what I heard and from what I've seen, sometimes they just don't have that type of niche with people as well. But for some horror games now, they could be so well done with the atmosphere, the characters, and the story. Like one game in particular that could definitely make it out there, probably now, if done correctly, is a remake of Silent Frame. Now, those of you who don't know, Silent Frame is a type of horror game for the PS2 where you could basically have to stare down the monsters and the ghosts at a camera and to deal them damage and to most likely also bring them a better life. But if you want to do more damage, you have to get up closer to them. And seeing a horrific monster's face right in front of it, where you have to take a picture at them, is pretty terrifying. Another idea that could be a really good remake for today is Clock Tower. As a, I want to say either a third person or first person kind of game. Because honestly, in the original Clock Tower, it did have that type of like on edge aspect to it, where you don't know where this creature or this killer known as the Scissor Men would be out of nowhere to kill you. You always need to hide, and all you need to do is run. Just run. Now, that reminded me of another game that hit market really well, which was Outlast. Outlast was a horror game that drove it home from the first to DLC to frickin' sequel. It hit it home so damn well. The first Outlast game was an absolute crazy game. I haven't even finished it because I'm still scared of it. That's coming from me. I haven't even finished it. It came out in 2012, if I'm not mistaken, or probably a year later, or I mean a year after, and I haven't finished it because it's that damn scary. You're in an asylum, there is a muscle-bound monster willing to kill you without a second thought, and not only that, you're probably going to be dead in 2 seconds or less if you don't just run. But the game is great, where in the sequel, it evolved from just hiding in an asylum from a maniac to hiding at every plain sight from freaking cultists that were willing and are willing to kill you without a second thought. And that is a good horror game because you constantly are on edge. You don't know if there's going to be someone near you. You don't know if there's going to be something around the corner. And it is just an overall good game. And for some other games back then, like Silent Hill or others, they should really take back some of that older aspect. Silent Hill in particular, because Silent Hill is a game where that's just basically it. It's silent. And the silence is always makes you uneasy because it's always going to be too quiet. And it just has those types of monsters that are very disturbing, that are, I want to say, very eldritch-like in terms of idea. Holy smokes, I really need to stop talking about H.P. Lovecraft for once in this podcast. But besides just that, it does have an amazing atmosphere where you always have a sense of uneasiness to yourself when you play a certain level. Some levels could have like demonic ass children. Some levels could have even Pyramid Head. I mean, I heard 2 was a really great one too, as well. But the game sadly didn't hit home with some of the other ones, from what I heard. And not only that, like, there was supposed to be, like, a game known as Silent Hill PT out on the market, but sadly, that one got canceled. And it has, like, a type of idea where it's a loop all the time when you enter and exit a building, and you're constantly on edge for something you don't even know what you're gonna find. And that is a good ass game as well. Now, before I end the podcast here, a little bit short, but I'll try to think of something. I want to say I am sorry for not posting the other episode last night because, like I just said, I had a lot of schoolwork. I was mentally exhausted and I just wanted to relax from there on out, right? And not only that, I want to thank some of my listeners who are willing to listen to the podcast as always. I'd like to thank my sponsor of today, Anchor. Remember that Anchor is a free to download app that can help you build your podcast right away. And not only that, I also want to say I will try to post a few more episodes for next week's spooky month. And not only that, if you guys listen, I promise I'm going to do a reading for the last episode of the movie. What am I saying? I'm going to pass a reading for the last episode of Spooky Month on the 31st of Halloween. Just feel like it's fitting for there. But not only that, before I forget anything else, I just want to say for every time you guys listen to my podcast and listen to a sponsor, you're actually helping me out quite a lot because I'm currently getting small amounts of revenue bits by bits from Anchor right now. They're really helpful folks to helping me help pay them bills, help flushing that toilet over there, and help me purchase textbooks because we all know that textbooks for college aren't cheap, sadly. And really, in the future, if you guys help me out by just listening to some of my podcasts bit by bit, or like month by month, or day by day, however you want to do it, you're actually helping me out quite a lot. Maybe in the future, you could help me out to make this podcast into a full-fledged podcast. And I would really like to say, have a nice day, and remember, geeked is fleet.